This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذا أنعمنا على الإنسان أعرض ونأى بجانبه وإذا مسه الشر كان يئوسا قل كل يعمل على شاكلته فربكم أعلم بمن هو أهدى سبيلا ويسألونك عن الروح قل الروح من أمر ربي وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد I'm going to take a break from our series on the Durus on Ali Imran, and I want to share some different places in the Quran, just some reflections with you. And today, I've decided to share some lessons with you from Surah Al-Isra. This is Surah number 17. And the ayat that I want to talk to you about today, centrally, is ayah number 84, but some things about ayah number 83 and 85 also. Surah Al-Isra is a very different Meccan surah of the Quran. It's got 111 ayat. And it has some of the very difficult ayat in Meccan tafsir. Some very difficult ayat of the Quran belong to Surah Al-Isra. And some things that are mentioned in Surah Al-Isra are not mentioned anywhere else. So you have, for example, in Meccan Quran, lots of repetition. Things that are mentioned in different places occur again in different surahs in Meccan Quran. But Surah Al-Isra describes some realities. For example, the way that Allah talks about the ruh, as you may have heard the Arabic word as I was reciting the ayah, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. That's only here. There's nowhere else that even that question has been discussed, right? So it has a unique place also among the series of Meccan surahs within which it is found. What I want to start with you today with is, instead of getting into the meanings of the ayat, first and foremost is just some concepts that I want you to visualize, and that'll help help us appreciate the lessons here a little bit better. When somebody's traveling, just imagine yourself or myself or anybody traveling, then their goal, if you ask them, what is your goal as a traveler? Well, your goal as a traveler is to reach your destination. It's pretty simple, right? So anybody who's ever engaged in any travel, their arriving at their destination is their ultimate goal, right? So the closer they get to their goal, the more progress they're making. And the moment they've reached their goal, they've attained success, right? Now, that's an important visualization, because when you are, you know, your goal was not to take a step. Your goal was not to finish 1 mile or 2 miles or 3 miles. Your goal was to get to the destination. Now, let's say your destination was 10 miles away and you only traveled 4 miles and you couldn't go any further. Then you failed because you didn't reach 10 miles. That's what your goal was. And if you only took 2 steps or 3 steps, you still failed. And if you made it all the way to 9.99 miles and you only had 2 steps left and you couldn't make it, you still failed because you did not make it to your destination. This is important because when somebody asks for directions, now I'll use Islamic terms that you're more familiar with. Instead of saying directions, I'll say when somebody asks for guidance. Right, that's why we call it, you know, GPS, right? So when somebody asks for guidance, then they're obviously asking, this is where I want to go, this restaurant, this airport, this hotel, this masjid, whatever. Can you give me guidance on how to go there? Right, that's what they're asking for. And so we never ask guidance to get to the road. We always ask guidance to get to the destination. Like, somebody says, hey, could you guide me to get to this road? Oh, where do you want to go on that road? What's your destination? Because nobody's destination is the road itself. You understand? That wouldn't make sense. But now take a step back and think about the Fatiha. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to what? The road. But in life, we never ask for guidance to the road. We ask for guidance to the destination. And Allah will explain Himself in the Quran, like in Surah An-Najm, وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ, that the final destination, the end, is your Rabb Himself. That's the destination. But we don't ask Allah to guide us to Him, we ask Allah to guide us to the road itself. This is very important to understand. And if somebody understands that, the way they look at the Qur'an, and the way they look at their life, the way they understand Allah's expectations changes completely. Because someone who's saying, my goal is to be on a road, is very different than someone who says, my goal is to get to a building or to get to a destination. They're two different things. If the only goal you have in life is to be on a road and stay on a road, then when is the only time you're done? When's the only time you're finished? When you die. And your goal is not to reach someplace. Your goal is to actually die on this road. That's your goal. Your goal was not to get to a destination. Isn't that profoundly different? Now, if that's your goal, then you're no longer concerned about, you know how we say when you're traveling, if, you know, one time I traveled from here with my kids to Colorado, pretty long drive, 700 some miles. And they keep asking, how many hours left? How many miles did we travel so far? How many more miles left? And you keep checking the marker. Okay, this many left, this many hundred left, this many hundred left. Oh, we did 10 more, we did 20 more, we did 30 more. You understand? So you keep checking how much progress have I made. Oh my God, I came so far. And I have only a little bit more to go. Because if you have a stationary destination, then every step you take, you've made progress, and you're getting closer and closer to your goal. But if your goal was the road itself, do you look back in front? No. No, that's no longer a concern. You're no longer worried. Hey, when can I get to this goal? When can I get to that goal? When can I get to this mile marker, this milestone? Maybe now I'm 75% done. Now I'm 80%. Nope, you're not concerned anymore. You don't even look back and say, man, I made a lot of progress. That's no longer your concern. Because it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters for a person whose goal was to be on the road is that when the last moment comes of their life, and we don't know when that is, that they were still on the road. That's the only thing that matters. Nothing else matters. Now this changes our perspective on guidance altogether. No matter what you and I may have done in the past, that's good. No matter what we did, that's good. Today, does any of that matter? No. All that matters today is today, am I on the road or not? And no matter what mistakes you made in the past, you were off the road, you were off some cliff somewhere, wherever you were. If so long as you're on the road today, that is all that matters. Tomorrow doesn't matter because it's out of your control. Yesterday doesn't matter because it's too late. All that matters is that you're on the road right now. Isn't that profoundly different? It's incredible that Allah Azza wa Jalla, and by the way, if somebody fell behind, sometimes people are on the right path and then they stop. Sometimes people are on the right path and they take a little turn. Sometimes people are on the right path, they start going backwards. It happens. And if you were walking with your brother, and one of them got tired, and they stopped, and you kept going. Now it seems that you are much further away, and he's still further behind. And one day he decides to get on the road again. Should he compare himself to you anymore? And say, man, he's so far ahead, how am I ever going to catch up? He's doing so much better than I am, and I'm all the way back here. None of that matters. Because there's no comparison of where you are, how far you got. All that matters is that you're on it. Some people that are traveling on this road are traveling very fast. Imagine a highway, some people are driving like beyond the speed limit. Some people are riding a bicycle. Some people are walking. Are they all traveling at the same speed? No. There are some people that are traveling in a bus, so there's lots of people together traveling. So their journey is easier. They help each other. They, you know, one gets tired, the other takes the wheel. Right? They're giving each other company. And you know, when you have company, the road becomes easier. Right? And there are some people that are traveling what? All alone. And then there are some people who are traveling and the person they're traveling with, they don't even like them. They have a difficult journey because they're stuck with this person that they don't even like and they're traveling on that road. Is everybody traveling on the road traveling at the same speed in the same way? No. No, they're not. But that doesn't matter. You know, two people can have the same exact, they could be on the same exact street, the same exact road. But is their experience of traveling on that road the same? Can't you imagine that you went on a highway from one exit to another, and at the same time there are 100 other cars next to you, and somebody says, man, remember that time we were driving? That was the best day of my life. And next to you is a car that says, man, that time when I was driving, that was the worst day of my life. Possible or no? For some people, the same journey is the easiest thing ever. For the other people, it's the hardest thing ever. You understand? It's not the same. Just because the cars are traveling together, they're all headed in the same direction, it doesn't mean that the experience is the same for everybody on it. It's not the same. If we understand this image, then you'll appreciate what's being said in many ayat, especially this ayah. And I want to start with the end of this ayah and then go back to the beginning of this ayah. فَرَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ هُوَ أَهْدَى سَبِيلًا. Your master, your Rabb, all of you, knows better who is more guided in terms of sticking to the road. Who is more committed to the road? He knows better. First of all, by Allah saying, Allah knows better. Like he, another place he says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ اِهْتَدَى. He says he knows the ones that have fallen off the road and he knows the ones that are committed to the guidance, committed to the directions that were given. He knows the difference between them. When Allah says that, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ, you know what that means? That means you and I are no longer in a position to say, man, that guy is on a good road and this one's off the road. He took that away from you. He took that away from me. Because who says who knows better? إِنَّ رَبَّكَ أَعْلَمُ. In this ayah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَرَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ هُوَ أَهْدَى. He knows. He knows better. I am no longer concerned with who is on the road and who is off the road. That's not for me to know. There's no way for me to know. You know what happens with people? What shaitan comes to them? He makes them forget this reality and their only concern is who is on and who is off. Let me tell you who the deviants are. Let me tell you who are not on the right path. Let me tell you who have fallen away from the path. Let me make a list of you for them. I've literally gone to masajid where they update the list of deviants you should stay away from. And then they make a list of people that you should follow or listen to or benefit from, and they're still guided. They're still on the haq. And I've literally seen this one is crossed off, moved over to that list. He's deviant too. Last week he said something. They keep tabs on who's on the road and who's off the road. Ya Allah. Ya Rab. Allah says, that's not your license, that's not my place. That's Allah, for Allah to know. رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ هُوَ أَهْدَى سَبِيلًا. Then here's the other thing. You know, in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah Azza wa Jal told us, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Sirat in Arabic comes from the word surat. And surat is a wide, long sword. Because the Arabs used to make curved swords. Like if you know anything about swords, the strange sword for the Arab was the long straight one. And that was called a surat. And from it you get the word sirat, a wide but straight road. Right? A wide but straight road. And you know in Arabic words have plurals just like in any language. Like kitab is kutub, masjid is masajid. Sirat has no plural. There's no surat. There's no sara'it. There's nothing. Why? Because the sirat is the kind of road that doesn't have an alternative route. Like, you know, there's only one bridge that goes from this island to this island. There's no other roads that can take you there. That would be called a sirat. Why? Because there's no other road you can take. There's only this road you can take. There is no plural available. There's no alternative available. That's Allah's way of telling us Islam is one. The deen is one. Guidance is one. There's only one road to take. So far, so good. But then Allah Azza wa Jal uses other words. Like the word sabil. Like the word sabil. Now, sabil is a small road. Sabil is actually a small road. And tariq is actually another, even a smaller road. So the way I want you to visualize this is, you know how you have a street, and from an inside home street, you get to a main street, which has three or four lanes, and then from the main street, you get on the highway. Right? The highway is sirat. And then there's tariq that leads to sabil that goes to sirat. If you want to get on that highway, you still might have to take some local route, yes? You can't just jump on the highway. You have to take some smaller pathways. So everybody's starting point may be different, but they're all making their way to the same highway. You with me? Now, Allah Azza wa Jal in the beginning of this ayah, this is why I was really fascinated by this ayah today, قُلْ tell them, كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِهِ. Tell them, everyone, every single human being, every single person. And why do I know it's al-kul yushir huna ila al-insan? لأن الآية السابقة ذكرت الإنسان. The previous ayah is talking about insan. وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَأَى بِجَانِبِهِ وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ كَانَ يَأُوسًا. The previous ayah is talking about the human being, all human beings. In this ayah Allah says, tell every human being, tell everybody. يَعْمَلُ عَلَى قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِهِ. Tell everybody works, everybody does work according to their shakila. That's the hard word of this ayah, shakila. The word shakila comes from shakl. Shakl means form, shape. Allah is telling us that He made me different, He made you different. Our bodies are physically different. Our skin colors are different. our genetic makeup is different, our personality, and that's biologically even. Biologically, the way physically we look is very different. Allah made each of us individual to the point of our fingertips, to the point of our fingerprints, right? He made us genetically different. But then there's something inside us that's also very different. What's that thing inside us? This is the physical body, but there's something inside us that's also different, which is what? The ruh. Notice in the next ayah, Allah is going to talk about the ruh. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Every human being has been shaped from the outside and the inside differently. Every human being was shaped from the outside and the inside differently. My ruh is different from yours. My body is different from yours. My voice is different from yours. Every one of us is different. The way my mind works is not the way your mind works. What I like is not what you like. What interests me is not what interests you. What is my strength is not your strength. Your strength is something else. Every single human being Allah made with some strengths and some weaknesses. And every single human being, and that's the beautiful thing about Shakila, one side of it is each one of us is extremely unique. Like I know if you have more than one child, like I have, our children are very different. Some children are very artistic. Some children are very hands-on learners. Some children are very good listeners. Some children are very good readers. Other kids are allergic to books. They're completely different. Their eating habits are different. Their interests are different. Their personalities are different. To the point where even sometimes you have twins. Physically exactly the same. But personalities, two completely different people. Two completely different people. Why? Because each of them has their own shakila. But the other beautiful thing about the word shakila is that it also means, they say tariq, that shawakil in Arabic. A road that has shawakil means a road that goes off into many smaller roads. Like, like a highway has many splits, right? That's actually called shawakil. In other words, each one of you, even though the highway is the same, each one of you has your own mini roads to take on the same journey. Is it possible that when you're traveling, help you visualize, somebody's on the highway and some people are on the service road. Are they still traveling essentially in the same journey? Yeah, because they're still headed in the same direction, you understand? Allah Azza wa Jalla says each one of us actually has our own particular road, our own starting point, our own way to get on the road, our own pace. And if your road is your own, if I'm on a different street, you're on a different street, then the view you will have is different from me. The bumps you will face are different from me. The police that's watching you are different from mine. The stop signs are different for you and different for me. You understand that? Right? The dangers on the road are different for you and different for me. The opportunities are different for you and different for me, because we're all on a different road. Now let's put all of that together. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us in this ayah, قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِهِ يَعْمَلُ. The mudari' can be understood in Arabic as a statement of fact. Everybody does according to how they were made. It's a statement of fact. But the mudari' can also be a subtle form of amr. It can be a form of command. Let me explain that in simple English first. Those of you that are parents can easily understand this one. It's time to go to school, your kid is pretending to sleep. And when they really pretend hard to sleep, they do this. And if you're working that hard to close your eyes, you're definitely not asleep. And the mother says, "You are getting up right now." Now I'll repeat the English. You are getting up right now. That's different from get up. When I say get up, that's a command, right? But when I say, you are getting up right now, that's a statement of fact. She says it like it's a fact. Because that's a reality you can't escape. You understand? That plate will be finished. Not finish the plate, that plate will be finished. It's a very strong way of commanding someone is to actually say it as a matter of fact. As a matter of fact. No, you're not going there. Now, it's different from saying, don't go there. Oh no, you're not going there. Full stop. Like it's a fact. Like it's a done deal. In that sense, the mudari' here can be kalam in sha'i. Everybody is going to work. You better put yourselves to work. Yes, you will put yourselves to work. Exactly according to, based on how Allah shaped you. Now this is a self-assessment. What Allah is telling us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that each and every one of us, Allah gave us a different place we were born, different parents we were born to, different circumstances, different culture, different language, different economic opportunity, different starting point, different experiences, different difficulties. Your trials are different from my trials. The challenges you had as a child, the challenges you had growing up are different from my challenges. Every one of us has our own bumps on the road. And Allah says, based on those experiences, you must put yourself to work, given the strengths that I gave you. Allah Azza wa Jal basically crafted your life. He designed the story of your life, right? Think of your life like a story. The author is Allah Himself, right? And He put you through every one of the experiences He put you through for a purpose, for a reason. You may not understand the purpose. Why did this happen to me? Why did that bad experience occur with me? What was my fault in it? I deserve better, etc., etc. Understand every one of the good experiences and bad experiences are there to help you get on this road. That's the purpose of them. But you can't get on this road unless you identify the gift Allah has given you, or more than one gift that Allah has given you. You know, Musa alayhi salam had to discover that his gift was strength. Right? His physical gift was strength. And you know what his disability was? You know, physically, very strong. You know what his disability was? Anybody know? Speech. Now think about that. His strength got him in trouble. Yes or no? So what used to be his blessing got him in trouble. And the thing that was the hardest for him is what's recorded in the Quran, his speech. Nobody speaks in the Quran more than Musa alayhi salam. Think about that for a second. He throws one punch, a guy dies, and everything in his life goes to chaos. But the thing that was his disability, وَلَا يَكَادُ يُبِينَ, even Fir'aun made fun of him. He said, oh look, he can't even talk. It's almost like he can't even clarify one word. He has a hard time saying a single word. Look at him. And that speech, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا, Musa alayhi salam spoke with Allah, engaged in passionate conversation with Allah, debated one of the greatest evil politicians in history, and crushed him in debate. That was Musa alayhi salam. What am I trying to tell you? Sometimes we don't recognize, I think I know my strength and I think I know my weakness. But actually you don't know that your weakness is also a blessing. The thing Allah didn't make you good at, the thing you think you're not so good at, maybe the thing Allah will put to work. What do people say is Yusuf alayhi salam's gift? He's got two gifts. He's got the interpretation of speech, but what else? Beauty. Was his beauty an asset or a liability in his life? What do you think? Musa alayhi salam's strength got him in trouble. Yusuf alayhi salam's good looks got him in trouble. You understand? And in this world, everybody sees these things. And what do they think? This is a blessing. Allah blessed this person with looks. Allah blessed this person with strength. This is a blessing. Allah says, Allah knows better who's more committed to guidance. Allah knows better who's actually putting their shakila to work. And Allah is teaching us something through these examples in the Quran. He's teaching us that there are different kinds of abilities. There's abilities on the outside, gifts on the outside, and then there are gifts on the inside. The ability to understand speech, like Yusuf alayhi salam. The honesty of Musa alayhi salam, the integrity of Musa alayhi salam, قَوِيٌّ أَمِينٌ. He's strong, but strong, being strong is easy. Being strong and at the same time honest, that's a very difficult thing. To have those qualities, now that is some incredible shakila Allah gave him, the potential Allah gave him to reach where he reached, you know? So now, what does that mean for you and me and everybody else? What that means for you and me is, first of all, we don't think of our children as parents, we don't think of our children the same way we think of ourselves. Just because I found a love for the study of the Arabic language and teaching doesn't mean I have to make all of my kids a teacher. That may not be their calling. That may not be their shakila. It may not be. It could be that you're a doctor. And sometimes in the Muslim world, once you become a doctor, it's wajib to make your children doctors. Like there's fatwa about this. It's haram to let them be anything else. But your child might be, you know, a writer. Your child might be a great sociologist, a political thinker. Your child might be an artist. Your child might be a great scholar of hadith or something. I don't know. They may have potential in different directions. We have to allow our children to first to recognize their potential and to encourage them in that potential. So they can put themselves to work according to their potential. But amal is important. This is why the wording of the ayat is so beautiful.
It's not just that you find your potential. Being talented is easy because the talent didn't come from you. Talent came from Allah. If somebody's has a beautiful voice, that's not, they didn't own it. That was given to them. If somebody's very good at mathematics, their mind, the sharpness of their mind isn't theirs. That was given to them. So if it was already given to you, you don't get credit for that. Not according to Allah. That's what Allah gave you. That's the shakil Allah gave you. What do you get credit for? Amal. قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِهِ. In other words, is it possible that somebody's very talented but they don't work hard? It happens all the time. I'll tell you a story. At one point in my institute, I was looking for to hire other teachers to teach Arabic. And I found this young fellow who I thought was a brilliant teacher. And this kid was incredible. I thought he's one of the best teachers as a talent I've ever seen. Teaching Arabic is hard. Learning Arabic is, if you love learning, you'll learn it. But teaching it is very different. And how do you know you're a good teacher? When your students are motivated to learn. Because the easiest thing to do in Arabic class is to quit. So his students are loving his class. He's motivating the students. He's a fantastic teacher. He knows how to explain and carry himself in class and keep them engaged. And I love the fact that he's so talented. And so I brought him on board and gave him opportunity. And, you know, he's teaching. And as he's teaching, he's missing deadlines, not showing up to class, not checking students' homework, not responding to emails, missing meetings. And what's going on? You're not... Why aren't you showing up to work? I got busy. And then later on you question, why are you doing this? You know, I don't think we can work. Who are you going to find who's as talented as me? Really? Because you think talent is the only thing that's valuable? Allah gave talent to lots of people. You know, there are people that play professional sports, right? And we see them, they're very, very talented. You know, there are just as many talented people sitting in our neighborhood. Physically just as able. And they can be amazing athletes. Guess what's the difference? Work. Practice. I'm going to show up. How many kids do you see that the coach says, man, if you work hard, you'll be in the NBA, you'll be in the NFL, you can join Premier Football and don't do the work. If you have the talent, you don't put it yourself to work, it's not going to go anywhere. The same thing is true now in terms of deen. In terms of deen, Allah is essentially has given each one of us different potential, different strengths, which was true of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in and before them. Even if you study the lives of the prophets, different prophets have different strengths. You know? Even Allah describes, فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ. Why did He distinguish between them? We give them different preferences, different strengths. Why? Because Allah did not want humanity to be one thing. You know, He says, وَجَعَلَّكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. He made you, they translate this, He made you into nations and tribes. That's not a good translation. Sha'ab in Arabic is a hole in a wall. You know, when a wall is nice and there's some broken part, like in America, we don't see that a lot because we kind of, it's all sheetrock and the imperfections get covered. But if you go to like Pakistan or back home countries where they have like cement walls and actual brick walls, some part of it chips off and falls off and there's a hole. When you see those imperfections, that's called a sha'ab. Allah calls every nation a sha'ab. Why? Because it's made up of citizens that are together like a wall. But it's never perfect. No nation is ever perfect. Every nation has some flaw. Just like every human being has some flaw. And He says you have to learn to get to know each other because what is your weakness is somebody else's strength. And their weakness is your strength. So you will learn from them and they will learn from you. This is why Allah put human beings together. When human beings come together, Musa alayhi salam is put together with his brother. Why? Huwa afsahu minni lisanan. He's a better speaker than I am. I have a flaw, but he doesn't have that. He'll strengthen me. I'll be his strength. He'll be my strength. Ushdud bihi azri. Wa ashriku fi amri. Use him to support me. I need backup, and the best backup is him. So Allah made us dependent on one another. He made us dependent on one another. When you discover yourself, your shakila, you'll also identify in yourself, and I will identify in myself. What am I good at? And also, what am I not good at? What do I need help in? So you know the right, and then you'll identify the people who can help you cover those gaps. And as you learn that, then you realize that so long as we are on the road, we are not comparing ourselves to anybody. If Allah made you good at something, how will you serve Allah and His creation using what He gave you? If He made you good at speaking, speak. If He made you good at teaching, teach. If He made you good at writing, write. If He made you good at building, build. If He made you good at engineering, engineer. What is it that He made your mind and your physical ability amazing at? You have to find that in yourself and put it to work. And you don't say to yourself, well, you know, I'm not really good at anything. That's a lie. That's not true. Allah gave everybody a shakila. And He gave everybody a way to get guidance towards Him. He made you good at something. He made you able to do some kind of good. And good doesn't just mean ibadah to Allah. Good means good towards other people. How can you benefit other people in some way? At the very least, how do you benefit people around you? In your family, among your friends. But it grows further than that. If you become more ambitious, you say, how do I benefit society? How do I benefit humanity? How do I do something bigger than myself? But it won't happen if you're not even of benefit to the people closest to you first. Right? So this ayah, I'll start over again. So as we conclude, to wrap everything up, Allah says, tell them everybody should work, or everybody better put themselves to work according to their shakila, according to the road that is uniquely crafted for them, and according to the unique talents and abilities and strengths and weaknesses that were given to them, which are different from everybody else. So they never compare anybody to themselves to anyone else. And they don't say, hey, why do I have this difficult road and this one has an easy road? You're not interested in comparison. That's no longer the case. That doesn't concern you. Their road and what they were given and what they were not given, that's with Allah. And your road is with Allah. And He knows who to give what, according to what, you know. So He says, فَرَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ هُوَ أَهْدَى. And your master knows who is more guided, who's more valuable in terms of guidance, and who's closer to guidance as they traverse the path. مَنْ هُوَ أَهْدَى سَبِيلًا. So beautiful this ayah. So profound this ayah. That you start valuing every experience in your life. You start thinking about every one of the things that you've gone through and how that can help craft you as a human being. You know? How is it making you a stronger person? How is it that you learn something from it and you can help somebody else with it? You can be of service to somebody else with it. You know, I keep making reference to Musa alayhi salam because first of all, I'm obsessed with Musa alayhi salam. And because the Quran emphasizes him so much. But something else about him comes to mind as I talk about this. And of course, this is Surah Al-Isra, which is about Banu Israel, which is the nation of Musa alayhi salam. But in any case, Musa alayhi salam, when he ran away, and he was in Madian, and, you know, he's got very heavy guilt on him because he accidentally killed someone. He didn't intend to, but he did. And he says, Rabbi, inni zalamtu nafsi. I've done wrong to myself. He also says, hadha min amal ash-shaytan. This is from the work of the devil. I mean, these are his words when this happened. But when he went away, you know, in your head and in my head, when you do a sin, what's the way to fix that sin? You make istighfar, you do ibadah, you do dhikr, you cry to Allah, maybe you go to hajj. You do these things, meaning you connect more and more to Allah. Look at Musa alayhi salam. He goes and he sits down in Madian. فَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ And وَجَدَ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ إِمْرَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانَ. He saw two girls that are struggling to feed their animals. And you know the story, he goes and he helps them. But what's remarkable to me is when he was done helping them and he sat down, tawalla ila dhil, he goes back and sits down in the shade. He says, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Master, whatever good opportunity to do good you give me, I could use it. In other words, he is constantly driven to do more good for other people. Not just ibadah to Allah, good towards other people. His previous experience of hurting another human being, he is now compensating for it by helping other human beings. If somebody hurt you in some way, you learn from that and say, I'm going to make sure nobody gets hurt the way I was hurt. And you try to help others who got hurt. You learn from your experience for the benefit of others. That is shakila. That is putting ourselves to work. And so, And why are we so different? And why is it so, you know, why is it that Allah made me the way He made me and He made you the way He made you? We will never know. What is the reality? Our own reality is the biggest mystery. That's our ruh.
And Allah says, وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. That's the next ayah actually. You haven't been given much knowledge at all. What you have been given is you can recognize your shakila. You can recognize what you're good at, a self-assessment. Really thinking about yourself and what is it that you're going to accomplish in your life. You know I was going to conclude, but I'll share one quick thing because Isha is almost upon us. Or Isha is, we just prayed, but rather, I'm still in the old time. But 5 minutes in. You know, if you lose sight of your purpose, if you lose sight of the purpose, the shakila Allah gave you, I want you to think of it this way. Food, drink, happiness, peace, safety. These are things we want in life. Everybody wants to feel peace. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to feel secure, etc., etc. These are feelings that people run after. So why do they want to buy a car? I want to buy a new car, it'll make me happy. I want to get a house, it'll make me feel safer. I want to feel safer. These are some feelings we run after. This tama'nina, this sense of calm and peace. Let me tell you, that's not our goal. Our goal is to fulfill a purpose. My goal in life is not to feel better. My goal in life is to accomplish something. The peace and the tranquility and the happiness and all of those things are only there so you get strong enough to fulfill your purpose. But they're not your purpose. You have to do work in life. يَعْمَلُوا عَلَىٰ قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُوا عَلَىٰ شَاكِلَتِهِ. And when you fulfill your purpose, you'll actually truly find peace. Let me put that in simple English and I'm done. In simple, no tafsir literature, no abstracts. You have someone who Allah gave a talent to that they're very good at, let's just say, counseling. Right? They should go to school and pursue a degree in counseling. They should become licensed in becoming a counselor. And they know that this talent that they have, everybody goes to school and gets the same degree, but some people, Allah gave them an ability that when they talk to people, people really feel healed. People feel different when they speak to them. Right? And Allah has given them that. When Allah has given them that purpose, and when they put themselves to work in that purpose, they're going to feel a calm and a peace and a happiness and a satisfaction that no matter what clothes they buy, no matter what car they buy, no matter what food they eat, they're not going to feel it. And that same person who, you know, does this work and they fulfill this purpose, now they start making a lot of money. And when they make a lot of money, they say, I don't have to do this work now. I can just enjoy my life. And they start busying themselves with vacations and enjoying themselves and eating good food and living a luxurious life and all of these other things. And guess what's missing in their life now? They're no longer happy. They have all these things around them, but they're not happy anymore. You know why? Because purpose is missing. If your life is missing purpose, everything else will have no meaning. Everything else around you will just lose meaning. And if you have purpose, you don't have to have anything else. You'll still be happy. Everything else will become secondary. It is only when people don't have purpose, then they compete for things. When they lose purpose, then they compete for things. Then they compete for clothes. Then they compete for house. Then they compete for car. Then they compete for money. Then they compete for showing off. Who had a bigger Eid party? Who had a bigger aqiqah for their baby? Who had a bigger wedding ceremony? That obsession, all of that's there when purpose is missing. When purpose is there, all of these things come and they make you happy. They give you some fuel. But you're never comparing yourself. You're never competing. The only competition left is, am I taking another step? Am I still on the road? Am I still making progress? That's all. That's the only concern I have. Nothing else matters. So we have to become people of purpose. We have to become people that don't get petty. Don't lose sight. Because when that happens, we've lost everything. By the way, what does purpose mean? Purpose means you're on a road. Right? That you haven't accomplished. But when you have stuff, you're like, oh, well, now I already have it. Then it's just about the next item and the next item and the next item. That's all it is now. One TV show to the next, one outfit to the next, one pair of shoes to the next, one gadget, one toy to the next. That's all. Oh, I can't wait till the new iPhone comes out. Why not? Why? What purpose do you have? What are you missing in your life that you can't wait? I can't wait till the next season of this show comes out. I'm dying. Why are you dying? Because your life is seriously missing something. You're already dead. That means you're already dead. Because that shouldn't be, and something else should preoccupy you. You can get entertained, that's okay. But that's not why you exist. That's not your goal. And when you see people like that, when they're dressed in the outfits and waiting for the next thing to come out and die hard, worshipping fans of sports teams, painting their faces and
you know, and fighting after a match and all of that. You know what that tells you? That tells you how far humanity can get away from purpose. How far they can get away from purpose. Allah did not make human beings for that purpose. He did not. This is the tragedy of the human being. And that's what's described in the, on your own time, just contemplate the ayah before this one. This is ayah number 84. Ayah number 83. وَإِذَا نَعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَأَى بِجَانِبِهِ وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ كَانَ يَئُوسًا. When good happens, really happy. When bad happens, really upset. What kind of people get really happy when good happens and really upset when bad happens? People whose goal was happiness. People whose goal was stuff. When they lose stuff, they get upset. When they get stuff, they get happy. But people who have purpose, things come and things go. It's okay, I still have my purpose. I'm still fine. I still have my mission. I'm still going. And the moment somebody, and shaitan will come, he'll try to steal your purpose from you. He'll rob you of your purpose. Any chance he gets, he wants to take it away from you. He can make you lazy, he can make you forget, he can make you distracted, he can bring others and say, hey, that's not your purpose. And others come and say, no, you don't deserve to have this purpose. Other people should have this purpose, not you. He'll make you get off of it any way that he can, and you have to just push all that out and stay on track. If you and I can stay on track, then we've accomplished something remarkable in this life. May Allah Azza wa Jal keep us, you know, positioned on the path, on our own journey, with purpose. And may Allah Azza wa Jal help us become a support for one another. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.